As we were singing, I just was thinking about the folks that are here tonight that have been in Federal Hill this morning. Just give me your hand, raise a hand if you were in Federal Hill this morning. Okay, there's a good gang, good group. Then Owings Mills, yeah, great. Then Pastor Shib is here, Silver Spring. That's Vision, you know. Hey, Lewis. Lewis is here. Wow, that's great to see you. Wow, that's great. And yeah, pray, keep Lewis in prayer. You want to just stand for a second? He's from Mexico, and he is his graduate of MBCNS. And his dad down in the Yucatan has missions. He grew up with a dad who had a motor scooter and vision and going to villages preaching. And he immigrated here, and this is a short story, but then going to Bible college here and then moving on in education and mission and vision. And just keep this mission in prayer. We're together. You know, we are together. It's amazing. Because of our hearts and our minds, we have something together in Christ. And in Ephesians chapter 4, if you turn there with me and just look at this, this is just a few thoughts to get our, let you know where we're going tonight, I believe, in our message, Ephesians 4. Now, behind this is our history, Pastor Shibeli, myself, Pastor Shibley, some of the old-timers, Pastor Williams, a lot of people here, actually, who back in the days in Lenox, we would have people coming from the area, Bible studies and affiliated churches, Springfield, Worcester, Boston, Revere, Peabody, Saugus, Rhode Island, Long Island, even New York City, Pastor Moses would come, and we'd have lunch with Dr. Stevens. And he would disciple us, he would teach us, and lead us. And we were believing we were part of something incredible. Not the Bible Speaks, which is what was the name that we had back then. It wasn't about the Bible. It was, but it was more. And it's what you and I have forever, that God gave his son so that our life would be different. We'd be different. I want to ask you a question. Is your life different? Is your life different? It's a very good question. Have you gained something? Have you understood something? Something got a hold of you? I heard in Federal Hill, Pastor Justin and the team, they started two morning services today. And, you know, like people coming. And, you know, with the effort with the masks and social distancing and so on, you know, all that stuff. But, you know, to be together. And in Federal Hill, they might say, at the big church. And somebody, big church, where's the big church? The big church. Bible school is starting. Yeah, in Silver Spring, at the big church, Bible school is starting up. What's the meaning of it? It's behind it is love and a mind that is called, there's many words for it, but it's called wisdom and I want you to see it here. The world does not have it. Look at verse 16 of chapter 4. From whom the whole body fitly joined together. How are we joined together? Yeah, fitly. There is a wooden building in Japan built hundreds of years ago, I think in the 10th century. It's a wooden building built hundreds of years ago, and there's not one nail in the building. Not one nail. Everything is fitted. It's framed. And everything like Lincoln Logs. Yeah, back in our day. Today they're Legos, aren't they? Legos. All right, so it's fitted. The body is fitted. And we felt that back in those days in Lenox and through the years. And we learned how to build up people. And we learned how to teach people to walk in faith. And we taught people, and they were led by the Spirit. And this is the grace of God around the world. This is the unity in India, unity in Africa, unity in America. We just had our convention. And whatever you want to call it, unconvention, convention, super convention, no convention, whatever the name is, it doesn't merely matter, because what it was real. And the body is fitly framed, and it's love. And this is the mind. Look at chapter 4, verse 16. Fit, joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth. I remember we did mission work in Hungary in the beginning of the 1990, and we were so radical. We were so radical, and I remember we would meet people on the train and we would preach in cities. We had a map. We'd go and preach and come back. And there were people that went home to their city, packed their bags, and moved to Budapest to go to Bible college. And when they made those decisions by faith, there was an addition. There's an addition. When you come here on a Sunday night, there's something. Every joint supplies. Every joint supplies. And because of the things that we've been going through the last months, there is the possibility of a believer turning inward and just kind of getting discouraged, or turning inward and having a different mind. But this portion, let's get to the point. It says, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part. There was some work that was happening in every part. That's beautiful. Every part, there's some working in the measure of every part. Works of faith, works in making decisions, decision making. We said this morning, it takes only a few bad decisions, and my life can go in a totally different direction. A few bad decisions, and I develop habits, and I go in a direction, just sometimes bad decisions. And then it says, makes increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. The human body, if it's exercised, there's like an edification in itself. But when you turn it off, it just starts to morph. It starts to shrink. Yeah, it starts to atrophy. It starts to, you know, you don't use your body and it starts to go the other way. But using your body, and this is why we assemble all the more as we see this day approaching in Hebrews 10, and the value of love and what it means to love. So it says here, it edifies itself in love. It's love. Love, what a good word today. Why don't you use it a lot? Love, when you're on the street. You know what I feel is needed in our world today? I hate so-and-so. I don't like it. What, you know what I think is needed? Love. Love. You know, I met a stranger yesterday in Laurel and said, you know, the world needs love. Love is what is needed. We don't need to argue. And she had a sign in front of the post office, and I got to talk to her, and she's like protesting something about the post office. But I don't really care. I go, she said, has the mail system failed you? I go, listen, I lived in a communist country. And if you want to know about failure, I can talk to you. I'm not a Hungarian. And she said, my grandparents were from Hungary, from Miskolc. I go, oh, you said that word perfectly. You know, I go, you know, love is what's needed. And she, love. We are edified in love. That's what we're looking for, love. That's why we assemble. That's what we're looking for, love. That's what the world doesn't have. They have everything. They're smart. They're organized. They got everything. They've got the government. They got philosophy. They got money. They got everything. But you know what they don't have? Yeah. Go to the next verse. It says, this I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you walk not as other Gentiles walk. What's a translation for that? That you would not walk as other people walk. How do they walk? In the emptiness of their mind. Look at verse 17. It says, in the vanity of their mind. What is the word vanity? It's a vacuity, an emptiness of the mind. It's like shallow, hollow. It's a mind that is not thinking. It's a mind that it says the fool mocks sin, Proverbs 14, verse 9. What does mocking sin mean? They make a joke of it. Like sin is a joke. Listen, in heaven, sin is not a joke. In hell, sin is not a joke. On earth, sin is a joke to the fool. That person that has an empty mind, they don't realize that the gun is loaded. What is that a picture of? A fool could handle a gun, but he should ask the question, what is it? Is it dangerous? What could I do with it? Is it loaded? It's loaded. Poison is poison. A cliff is a cliff. Hatred is hatred. Foolishness is foolishness. Wise and foolish virgins. Foolish virgins were virgins who had no understanding. They were foolish. Have you ever met a man fully grown physically, But in his heart, in his mind, he's like a child. Have you ever met a woman fully grown up as a woman, but in her heart she has some silly ideas about life? Have you ever looked into the mirror and seen yourself in that way? Has God ever woken you up and realized that, wow, that was a close call? I was foolish. And Paul says, don't walk in the emptiness of your mind. Look at the next one. It says, verse 18, having the understanding darkened. They don't know what they're talking about. They don't know what they're doing. They don't know the end result of their decision. They don't realize where this thing is going. They don't know how they influence other people. They don't know the effect of their words. They don't know the trouble of their own hearts. Verse 18, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God. Why am I speaking about this? Because in our society, we are praying for our country and the churches and the pastors and the leaders, and we're praying for good leadership. We're praying for revival. We're praying for changes. We're praying for God's mind. We're praying for wisdom, not only on a national level, but here with a teenager. I want to say something about that. I read yesterday about youth conflicts, and I mentioned it this morning. One major conflict with teenagers has to do with their disability or their appearance, about their feeling of failing, their fear of coming short, their fear of not being included in the group. Young people struggle a lot with identity. I like the word identity, but I also think maybe for this application it's overused. I would like to say Finding Nemo, that little fish in that movie with a pectoral fin that was a little smaller than the other one. You know, the ugly duckling, the runt of the litter, that person that has the limp or the stuttering, or some mole or disfigurement on their face, or there's something about them as a person, as a teenager. This is so tough for a teenager to manage to navigate in that world. But do you know what that teenager needs to hear? God made you this way. God made you this way. You trust God with all your heart and follow and trust him. Proverbs 3, verse 5. And what does he do in your understanding? The teenager, his understanding is not darkened, but his understanding is enlightened, and he begins to understand. But he needs help. He needs love. He needs to hear God's word and God's mind and have faith, and he needs to trust in God. Well, the average teenager, he's in a public school. He doesn't go to church. His family is divided. It's very common. I don't know if it's average. It's 47% of kids today grow up in a single family. My dad isn't home. I don't know why. Why doesn't my dad care about me? Why doesn't he take me fishing? Why can't we ride in the car? Why can't my dad take me out for coffee or a donut? He knows I like donuts. Why doesn't there's something wrong with me? I'm not lovable. I'm not desirable. Imagine. This is amazing. Why are we talking about this tonight in this context? Because we are wise. We have salvation. We have our Heavenly Father, my son, my son. The beginning of wisdom is the fear of God. Wow. And because of this verse, look at verse 18. The Gentile world, the world of our culture, the world that is on the media. I like to think there's two worlds in America. The one that you see on the media, that's very loud, like Goliath, shouting and yelling. And then there's the people that I meet on the street who are very humble and sweet and believe in Jesus. And many times I meet people that believe in Jesus and are very open and hungry for it. They're either very good actors or actresses, or else at some degree, very real. I believe it is real. I believe there's a hunger in the church. I believe there's a hunger in America where people just preach and teach these things. I believe teenagers need to hear about it. I believe that teenagers have struggles and conflicts in their heart that don't go away when they're 40 years old. He's now 14 and he's struggling with it. But when he's 40, he's still struggling with it. Unless he has found what we're talking about. The spirit filling. The hunger and desire for God. Because when you're born again, that's what happens. You start to love God. You start to look for God. You start to hear God. We said Friday night that Samuel was a little boy when his mother brought him to the temple, the tabernacle, to the priesthood, just gave him up. And it says every year she brought him a new coat. Every year he got a new coat. Why did he get a new coat every year? Because he's growing up. And you know, when she first gives him the coat, the sleeves are this long. And then the year later, they're this long. And it's time for a new one. You know what the meaning of that is by metaphor? That I am also changing, and in my changing, I need God to meet me where I am. I need Him as a covering. I am also changing. I wasn't married. Now I'm married. Now I need a new coat. I need a coat that's going to address my married life. Then I have a child, now I need a new coat. Or I'm a single person, I need a coat for that. And now I'm 40 years old, and I need a coat for that. And then I get cancer, and I need a coat for that. And then I get in trouble in my family, and I lose my wife, or my son, or some other problem financially, or some other thing happens to me. You know what I need? The riches that are in Christ Jesus, that's not just some spiritual high sentence. That's reality that affects our minds and our hearts. Because there are people coming behind us and they're wondering like this, is it real? Does it work when you're 30 years old? Does it work when you're 40? Does it work when you're 70? Is it getting better? Is it clearer? Do you have any regrets? Do you have any fears? Like things become clearer to you? It says in Proverbs 4:18 or 16, the light of the righteous shines brighter and brighter unto the perfect day. It's hard though. You can ask the saints, is it hard? They said, believe me. Believe me. It's got to be from above. It won't make it unless it comes from above. It's got to come from above. That's the message there. Look at verse 18. It says, having the understanding darkened, this is the worldly people. Don't follow worldly people. Their understanding is darkened. Disagree with them if you want to, lovingly. Maybe it would be helpful for them. And you know what another youth conflict is? Youth conflict is the conflict that a young person has regarding purpose. Purpose, you know, they're deep people, 14-year-old, 16, 18-year-old kids. They're deep. What's the purpose? Why am I living? What am I living for? If it's only a paycheck, that's beneath my dignity. I believe I want to live for something I could die for. If it's not worth dying for, then it's not worth living for. I want something real and something deep and something big. How about God? Thank you. I'm listening. What a great purpose to live for God. And you could die for God. I'll die for God. That'd be awesome. I like to die for God. I'm going to die anyway. Why not die for God? I'll live for God. I'll give my life up for God. I want a purpose in my life. When young people meet people like you and I that have a deeper understanding than the foolishness in the world, you have an audience. That's why I believe that we could have or are having now in America a revival. I pray for a revival. By the way, Franklin Graham is having in September, I think 26th, a day of prayer down in Washington, D.C. We'll be down there for the prayer with other believers praying for our country. September is the 26th. It's a great thing. And also, you'll hear me saying, register to vote, register to vote. I won't tell you who to vote for, but I'll ask you to register to vote because it's your civil duty. That'll be a message later. Hopefully, we can speak about that. We're still not there yet. Go to chapter 4, verse 18. Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God. They don't have the life of God. They're dead. There's so much hypocrisy in the pagan world, in the world, the heathen world. There's so much hypocrisy in this world. You know, it's amazing. Because they don't have the life of God. They're alienated from his life. Why? Because of sin. Sin alienates me from God through the ignorance that is in them. Another word for foolishness, ignorance, moron, moros. That's one of these words. The anoeteos is another one, no understanding. Moros, moron is our English word. Moros is sluggish. Like sluggish, not moving, not really embracing anything, kind of being dull and sluggish. How much sluggishness is in the world? How much slowness is in the world? How much dullness is in this world? How much people do not understand that they could care less? The only one is about them. It's about them. It's about them. That's the emptiness there. But it says here, because of the blindness of their heart. And we could pause and make some thought, observations about it. Hearts are blind. They don't have the reason. They don't have the understanding. They're not alive. They're not quickened. They're not interested. They're not fired up. There's nothing there. They go, They're like cows, cattle, just moving groups, going with the cows. And the cow path through the field. Broad is the way to destruction, many go therein at. But the way to life is narrow, few there be that find it. But the Spirit of God is in the church. And this is why we pay attention. It's why we love each other, why we gather, why we provoke. It's why we're alive. It's why we had 85 kids in our parking lot with four basketball hoops last night, 3-on-3, with a whole bunch of adults and Pastor Love giving the message, and then Pat Lynch taking some of them into the gymnasium afterwards. And we've discovered we've got a gold mine of an opportunity right here in Baltimore City, because we have a message of love for everybody. Amen. Everybody. Wow. So, what do you do, verse 22, put off concerning the former way of life or conversation, the old man? You change. God calls you, you change. You don't do that anymore. You change. You don't do it anymore. You put it off. I don't go there anymore. When I was at college years ago, there were about 200 guys in my dorm, and they all knew me this way before I was saved. And we would be together, maybe 50 of us, and we would, but when I got saved, it was over. I put a big poster in my window, Jesus Saves. It was fluorescent orange. I told everybody every day, all the time about Jesus. It's how I just decided. I lost all my friends except Arthur Blymiller, L. Peterson, and Rob Hedeman. They got saved. The next year, David Moore went to that school, and they said to him, they said, you should have met that guy, this guy that was here last year. He was out of his mind. You know, David Moore later picked up a hitchhiker on Route 87 in upstate New York, and that was a lost guy named Brian Lange. And he witnessed to him, Brian Lange flew to Utah to go skiing and fell into like a depression because he couldn't find his purpose in life. And he tells the story, he could tell it better than I, but it was going back to New York to find what that guy was talking about, Jesus. And we all end up together in the same church years later, you know, and that's amazing. But you know, I just want to finish and just say, I remember those days back through the years, and the same thing happens whether you're in Finland or you're in Africa or Owings Mills or where you're in Federal Hill or Silver Spring or Havre de Grace or wherever it is that we are going with the men and the women of God. This is God's will. We are greatly honored, and I think I should stop right there. We are greatly honored. We have touched it. We taste it. We know it. We are greatly honored to be alive today and to have this in our lives. To say to a young person, you know, your disability may be a blessing for you. You can find God. To say to a person who has family problems, maybe this is ordained of God, that you can turn to God. Maybe you wouldn't turn to God except for this trouble. And maybe God is in it. And I do not know, but everything is a just balance with God. It says, in his bag are many weights. It's filled with weights. Let me explain it to you to finish up. When you have a balance, let's say, here's your life, Nancy. And God has Nancy in a balance. He has a weight in his bag, and it's just the weight Nancy needs. That's the weight Nancy needs. And he has another person over, Eric. And he knows he can do something big with Eric. He's got a big weight here, a huge weight. Nancy couldn't handle that weight. But in his bag, there's many weights. That means he knows how to handle you. If you've been born with a disability, then enjoy God who gave it to you, who leads, who speaks, who ministers, who meets our need, who has a plan for each one of us. Thank God we're not the same. Not everybody in here is Einstein. Hallelujah. And somebody else, you know, it doesn't matter. God made us so that we can find, and it's a foolish mind that cannot find it. Let me give you the definition of a fool. He's having trouble here in Maryland, so he goes, you know what I need? I need a change. I'm going to go to Africa. I'm going to live in South Africa on a beach, watch the sharks. And I live there. He does that for 2 years. Somehow, the same emptiness in his heart. He just experienced it. He goes, you know, I don't think I need Africa. I've got to go to India. And he goes around the world. And he's always saying, I need a change. I need something. He's always saying, what is he missing? He is missing the real issue. And a fool cannot find the thing. He cannot find it. He's alienated from God's life. And he has a darkened mind and a blind heart. And he lives his life chasing the wrong thing. I need a different wife. I need a different family. I need a different country. I need a different job. And so on. But you don't need, I don't know what you, I'm not saying I don't know it, not know, but I just know this, that if we find wisdom, if we find God's heart, if we grow in faith, if we learn love, our world will change inside. We'll start to see things and understand God is here. I'd rather have God in this world than have the whole world without him. I'd rather have God his way. He's saying, listen, you got a problem? I got to wait for it here in my bag. I got something for you. You can make it. I will not make you and leave you alone. I'll give you what you need. I will not make you the way you are without somehow giving you a provision. I am God and I love you. I am your heavenly Father, and I will meet your need. I'll be there for you. I'll show you. Do you believe me? And the wise person will somehow say, maybe I don't believe it so much, but I'm willing to abide, listen, humble myself under your mighty hand, and please show me and give me a deeper understanding. That's what this crazy world is needing, a deeper understanding, a deeper love, a deeper faith, a deeper way of living, a deeper solution to my life. That's what I need. In Jesus' name, amen. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this assembly. What you're doing in Silver Spring, what you're doing in Federal Hill, we want revival, God, in our country. A deeper message, a deeper answer, a deep relationship, a real solution that'll stick your whole life. Not a remedy for a year or two, not just something that comes and goes, but life. Maybe you sent COVID-19 into the world just to get our attention before your coming, or before a revival, or before people would pass into eternity without you. Fill our churches with people seeking and saving them, and visiting them, comforting them, teaching them. May our words be sharp like a knife. May they be a hammer that breaks the rock. May our words be life and love to people. May we find you and find you personally and not fool around, but find you like it's like gold. It's like honey. To find you, it's wisdom, it's pearls, it's rubies, it's treasure. Lord, this is our treasure. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name. And anyone listening tonight, you're not a believer, come to Jesus tonight by faith. Just say, Jesus, say it to God. Say it to God Almighty. God loves you. Say to Jesus, save me. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.